Benvenuti in questo nuovo episodio del podcast. Oggi ascolteremo un'intervista che ho avuto l'opportunità di fare con Rick Doblin nel 2018. Nell'intervista parliamo di un'incredibile donazione che è stata fatta a MAPS di 5 milioni di dollari in Bitcoin per supportare MAPS nei loro studi sull'uso terapeutico dell'MDMA per il trattamento dei traumi. È stata una donazione molto importante per MAPS perché ha permesso all'organizzazione di portare avanti queste ricerche senza dover ricorrere a degli investitori e quindi riuscire a portare avanti tutta l'iniziativa in un'ottica totalmente no profit, con la visione di poter poi reinvestire i ricavi in altre attività di ricerca, sempre nell'ambito della terapia psichedelica. È stata una bellissima intervista, è stato un piacere incontrarmi con Rick a Bruxelles, in Belgio. Lui era lì per parlare al Parlamento europeo, per fare una presentazione su che cos'è MAPS, su quali sono gli studi condotti da questa organizzazione. E io in quel periodo stavo pensando di realizzare un documentario sul Pineapple Fund, su questo filantropo che ha fatto queste grandi donazioni in Bitcoin a diverse organizzazioni no profit. E quindi l'intervista è stata organizzata per questo motivo. E vi lascio all'ascolto e se volete approfondire gli argomenti trattati nel podcast potete guardare i link contenuti nelle note. Buon ascolto.
Okay, well, the Pineapple Fund was like a flower that blossomed and bloomed and then closed. Like one of these night blooming jasmines, or one of these beautiful flowers that are there only for a short period of time. So the Pineapple Fund is now closed. And it started in December of 2017, near the end of December. And it was a Mr. Well, we think it's a Mr. Pine, but all we know is it's a person named Pine, who seems to us like one person, but maybe it's a collection, but I think it's one person. Who decided to give away roughly 5,000 bitcoins. And now all those bitcoins have been distributed to different charities. And I think in the end it was something like $58 million worth of bitcoins that Pine received applications, reviewed the applications, decided which organizations to fund, and funded all of them within 2 months with seemingly out any staff. And just incredible. And most foundations, they give away 5%. The law in the United States is that if you have a foundation, you have to give away 5% of your assets every year. And so when Pine first created the Pineapple Fund, he said that this was the majority of his bitcoins. More than 50% of his bitcoins totally he gave away within a few months. It's absolutely astonishing. And the amount of good that's being done by that amount of bitcoins to all the different organizations is
Amazing.
just astonishing. And in fact, some people I heard from Pine were so inspired that somebody donated $500,000 worth of bitcoins to the Pineapple Fund for Pine to distribute. So Pine encouraged generosity from other cryptocurrency people.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And what are bitcoins for people
Oh,
who don't know about that?
okay. Well, bitcoins are a store of value in a way. They're an electronic money in a sense, and they're easier to transfer from person to person than going through banks. They're also anonymous, but it's all tracked so that there's and that's the blockchain. The chain is the chain of transactions from the very beginning into infinity, all of these different transactions. Because those are very tiny amounts of electrons or electronic information bits. There's no videos, it's just a little line that goes from here to there. So what the Bitcoin was is the first sort of crypto, meaning like coding. So it can't be fraudulently created, more of them, and it's stored on computers all over the world, so that one person can't make a change on their computer, and it's inspired hundreds now of other kind of cryptocurrencies. And so at first, Bitcoin was seen as a curiosity, an oddity, but now it's getting to be more and more accepted. But I think you asked me a little bit before about the origins of the Pineapple Fund.
Yeah.
So let me go back to that. So I have no idea who Pine is. I've never spoken to Pine. Pine has given MAFS $5 million. actually, a little bit more when it was sent. And we've only communicated by email. But the story that I've learned from him in a few of these emails is at some point, and I don't know exactly when, but I think it was shortly before December, near the end of December 2017, when he announced, or Pine, when Pine announced, well, roughly 90% or more of Bitcoins are owned by men. So I read that statistic, and that's true, so it's probably a man. But when Pine announced that he was giving away creating the Pineapple Fund, he put this brief description of what he was planning to do, a couple paragraphs in Reddit. And that's it. And so what we've later learned is that shortly before that, at some time before that, he had borderline personality disorder and was struggling with issues, emotional issues, and he decided to go for therapy. And one of the most promising developments for depression these days is ketamine, because it's a very rapid switch of people who are suicidally refractory depressed. Now, it doesn't last forever, but ketamine is being used more and more all over the world for treatment of depression. And so it was something that Pine decided, even though he had borderline personality disorder, that was kind of, he was depressed to some extent, and so he decided to go for ketamine therapy. And what he described was, is that under the influence of ketamine, during his ketamine experience, he had this insight, which was that the way for him to start feeling better was to help other people, which is in some ways, an absolutely remarkable insight. It's so true for thousands of years, but if more people realize that, be a way better world. So he realized that in the middle of a two different things. One is in the middle of a ketamine experience, but also as the price of Bitcoin has been going up and up and up and up and to kind of astonishing levels. In December, I think it reached its peak. Now it's about half that or less than half that, but still. Pine decided that he would create the Pineapple Fund and give away 5,000 plus Bitcoins, which at the time were worth $86 million. And so I think the message to other people in the cryptocurrency community is do ketamine. but also think about that whole concept of, think about that whole concept of helping others.
Yeah.
We
have not got that.
Yeah, okay.
I read that in an interview online that he had this session with ketamine and he was inspired by what he experienced, that it was part of the inspiration for.
Yeah, now at that point, from what I understand, he did not know anything about MAPS. And
right.
So
other people referred.
Well, he didn't really know about MAPS, and then when he put the announcement in Reddit, MAPS staff noticed it. I didn't even notice it. And within a day, we sent a one-page grant application to Pine. And the very next day, he wrote back, I'm sending you $1 million worth of Bitcoins. And then 2 hours later, they showed up. You know, we can go through months and months and months of evaluation by other foundations and nonprofits, sometimes year. But this was like minutes, you know, that he saw it. And then he was aware of MAPS.
Mm-hmm.
He also indicated in this email message that he might be open to the idea of a matching grant. And so we've been trying to raise $26 million plus for phase three research to develop MDMA-assisted psychotherapy for PTSD into a medicine through the FDA. And at that point in time, we were roughly almost halfway. And again, this is in December, and we had scheduled a MAPS Board of Directors meeting on the 28th of February. And it was very nerve-wracking for me because we were planning to start phase three in the summer of 2018. And some of our board members were, of the MAPS, the board of directors, were saying that there's so many people suffering with PTSD that we have an obligation to try to do the research as quickly as possible. And several people had approached us about making investments because we have cleared out a lot of the political obstacles. We have a clear pathway with the FDA. We have an agreement with the FDA called Special Protocol Assessment, where we've negotiated with them for about 7 months about the phase three designs, and we have an agreement letter, which means that if this design gets statistically significant evidence of efficacy and no new safety problems are discovered, then FDA will approve the drug. So I was under pressure to try to raise all the money that we could before the board meeting, because I definitely did not want to take investments. Because investors, even if they're aligned with the mission, and what I'm trying to do with MAPS is create, not just make MDMA into a medicine, but create an engine of income from the sale of MDMA to fund further research, instead of constantly having to go to donors to ask for more money forever and ever and ever, because there's so many different uses of MDMA that we'd have to study, so many other psychedelics. So many psychedelics, so little time. And so, you know, if you take investors and they get a percentage of the profits, and there's less money for the nonprofit purposes for more research. So I very much did not want to take investors, but I didn't know where the money was going to come from. And in October of 2017, I had some final conversations with people at the Veterans Administration and the National Institute of Mental Health. And it was clear that we were not going to get, even though at this point FDA had said this is a breakthrough therapy, and roughly two-thirds of the applications from Big Pharma to the FDA to have their drugs declared a breakthrough are rejected. So it's very difficult to get breakthrough therapy. We had breakthrough therapy, we had the special protocol assessment, we had great evidence, particularly with PTSD from all causes, but also one of our studies was within veterans. And so in October of 2017, when I realized finally that we were not going to get any money from the government, I was very disappointed. But then I started feeling relieved. And then I realized that once we make MDMA into a medicine, we'll be able to say that it's a gift to the world from the psychedelic community. Now what I say is it's a gift to the world from the psychedelic and cryptocurrency community. You know, and they intersect a lot in a lot of different ways, but still, this is normally the responsibility of the government to fund research into areas that pharmaceutical companies aren't doing, where there's market failures or major foundations that focus on health care-related investments. But because of the controversial nature of MDMA and psychedelics in general, none of the traditional sources of funding were open to me. So I was kind of at a loss, where is this money going to come from? And then, you know, who are these investors and can I, you know, maybe get an extension till the summer to try to keep raising more money? So when Pine announced this idea of the Pineapple Fund, and when we got the first million, and then 5 days later, somebody else sent us another $1 million to match Pine. We don't even know who that was. And then about a week and a half later, we got $750,000, roughly $780,000 worth of a different cryptocurrency. So when Pine said he was open to the idea of a matching grant, we discussed it back and forth, and he suggested it would be for $4 million. And he had previously decided before he set up the Pineapple Fund that no organization would get more than $5 million. So he agreed to this $4 million matching grant, and then he said he'd never done this before. He wanted to know what are some of the best practices for matching grants. So I wrote him a long email about all the different choices that he has. So the first choice is you can say, I'm only going to give the $4 million if you raise $4 million. You have to raise all of the $4 million, and then this $4 million becomes available. Or he could do it where, as we raise money, he matches it. And I said, I would prefer it that way because who knows if we can raise $4 million. Because he decided that, Pine, decided that this matching grant period would start January 10th and go to March 10th. And our board of directors meeting was February 28th. So that's where we would be discussing what to do. And if we didn't make it, you know, then maybe we could raise some additional money from the board or people that they knew. So I also said that some of his other choices are that you could say that it's only for cash. You're only going to match actual donations. Another way to do it is that you can match actual donations plus multi-year pledges. And because we can't spend all the money, we need all the money to know we can lay out the research and roll it out and go as fast as we can, but we can't spend it all right away. So I said we would, of course, prefer, if you're willing, to go for matching donations plus multi-year pledges. And Pine agreed to that. And then I said, because you're interested in raising money for phase three, and because that's what we're wanting to do, I suggest that no donations to MAPS for anything else get matched, because that's another choice of his. He could just match all donations to MAPS. Mm-hmm. But I said, that's not what I suggest. And the other thing, and he agreed to that, and then the other thing I said is, money that has been pledged to us before, but that we have not actually received, should not count for the match. The match is only for new money. And he agreed to that too. So then we started on this effort to try to raise this $4 million. And the inspirational value from Pine offering this matching grant was amazing, and even more than I anticipated. And so we were able, before the February 28th board meeting, to raise the $4 million from a series of different donations. One of them was a fellow that sent us $1 million worth of Bitcoins. We got probably 50 or 60 other people sent us small amounts of Bitcoins. And then most of the donations were from traditional sources of funding, family foundations and individuals who supported us in the past, but who had been waiting to make their decisions on how far we got. And Pine's matching grant sort of helped them fall off the fence and say, yes, I'm finally making this commitment. So now we have raised $26.2 million. Our new cost estimates are $26.7 million. And we're having this interview right now here in Brussels. And I'm going to the Netherlands tomorrow and for the next couple of days, because now we've started negotiating with the European Medicines Agency. Because to make a drug into a medicine for the FDA, almost all of that data will be required also by the European Medicines Agency. So it's much more efficient, in a way, to try to get it approved in Europe and in the U.S. But we're estimating right now that even though it's $26.7 million for the U.S., that we'll just probably need another $5 million or so for the European Medicines Agency. And we'll know that more the end of the summer of 2018, because we're in the midst of negotiating with the European Medicines Agency. And then once we complete the negotiations, then we'll know how many subjects they want. We'll be able to refine our budget. But I think Pine has put us in a whole new situation completely. This support from the cryptocurrency community has just shocked all of us, really. And now we're sitting on this pile of money. Some of it, we did also recognize that Pine was giving it to us for phase three. He wasn't giving it to us to speculate in Bitcoins. So we had a bit of a problem, because the first couple weeks that we received the funds from Pine and then from somebody else, the price of Bitcoins were going down, but we couldn't sell them. We had an account at Coinbase, and they had a maximum of $15,000 a month that we could liquidate into dollars. And we were looking and looking and looking for other brokers who would help us liquidate these Bitcoins, and no one would work with us. I mean, I think there was just an explosion of interest in Bitcoins, but for some reason, there was a big problem in the Bitcoin industry, you could say, where it was hard to set up accounts and hard to liquidate them. Mm-hmm. And so we're watching it go down just a little bit, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. And then finally, John Gilmore, who's on our board of directors, had contacted what's called the San Francisco Foundation. They're a community foundation based in San Francisco. And about 6 years ago, one of the MAPS board of directors died, Shauna Haley, and left us with $5.5 million. And so we decided we would save that for phase three, except for a few hundred thousand that went wanted to study autistic adults with social anxiety. And so we had all this money, and John recommended that we give it to the San Francisco Foundation to invest for us while we were holding on for phase three. And so the San Francisco Foundation, I think because they're in the heart of Silicon Valley, they, after negotiation discussions with John, they agreed to accept Bitcoins and turn them into dollars. And what's remarkable, too, is that some organizations, banks are not going to accept anonymous money because, again, Pine is completely anonymous. We don't know who he is. And the San Francisco Foundation said, look, whoever this is, is giving this money away, giving it to charity. Nobody's personally making money off of it. So they said, we will accept the Bitcoins, turn them into cash for you, and we will also accept anonymous donations of Bitcoins. And MAPS is their first client to do this. And so I think they'll probably get a lot more business from other people. So we were able to liquidate the Bitcoins pretty much as soon as we got them. And we started staying up late at night, too, because the price fluctuates so much. And so we could never tell when Pine was going to actually... We would give him periodic updates of how much we had raised, and then he would send us that amount of Bitcoins, and then we would try to translate it, transfer it immediately to the San Francisco Foundation. And sometimes tens of thousands of dollars would go one way or the other, just in the time between we noticed that his donation has come in and the time we got it to San Francisco Foundation. So.